Welcome to the Fellowship of the Unashamed, and we are on Lesson 12 today, and again, this is all part of our Revival Begins With You discipleship training program. We want the spark that has been ignited in you to grow and to consume your entire life so that you are just on fire for a love of God. Our mission, the mandate that God has given to us is to specifically give a shout to say the bridegroom, the groom is coming, and that it's time for us to get prepared. It's time for us to get ready and to be dressed and waiting with our lamps lit and our robes washed. So what we're wanting to do is get our robes washed. It says in Revelation 21 that to those who have washed their robes at the coming of Christ, to them it will be given to eat of the tree of life. So that's what we're doing here through this discipleship course, through the Fellowship of the Unashamed book. It's about getting our robes washed. It's about getting our lives set apart for Christ, to get them our lives consecrated to the Lord, and to open our eyes to the millions of compromises that we have in our daily life, the many, many ways that we actually break the laws of God and the commandments of God in ways that we don't even know of, because the commandments have become so obscure in our lives these days. We have, for most purposes, actually thrown out all law. So we don't think about the Ten Commandments. We don't think about any law. We just want to have this great freedom from the law and just kind of do whatever we think is right. And so to decide what we think is right, we look around at other people and what other church members are doing. That's what we deem is right. And so we all act in a pretty homogenous way. We all have just about the same set of values and standards in the church. But the problem is, because we have lost the objective law of God, our standard is slowly eroding, so that we are actually sinking a little bit of at a time. Every day we're sinking a little lower in a way that's indiscernible to us who are in the middle of it. We're just getting lower and lower by degrees. We're all looking at each other and everybody seems to be okay, fine, and we're just getting lower and lower. That's where the objective word of God, that's where the standard of the law comes in. It's like, this is the benchmark. It's not here, it's right here. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's the benchmark that Jesus established. And you think, well, that's impossible. Well, in the flesh, of course it's impossible. But God sent the Holy Spirit to transform us, that we would start to become more like Jesus. And so that we need to be striving toward that benchmark. And I don't know how far we'll get along that road before we die. But by God's grace, if by the Holy Spirit we are putting to death the deeds of the flesh, we shall live. So ours is to be pursuing this consecrated life, is to be pursuing getting our clothes washed, so that we're fragrant before the Lord. It's about getting our mind focused upon Him, so that we are loving Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that's a work. It's not an overnight. That's a process. And that's what this discipleship course is for. That's the aim, is to help us to have just to become set apart for the Lord, so that all of our unruly behavior, thoughts, and action starts to become subjected to the Lord. So He becomes our first love. It's just, it's very exciting. It's a very good thing to do. So we're going to cover the fifth commandment, lesson 12 today. Again, I apologize for the different versions of the books that are out. For some, this would be the fourth commandment, I think. And it's because in the original edition, I used Luther's catechism for the order of the Ten Commandments, and now I'm using the regular standard Protestant version. So don't be dismayed by that. Just follow along. The words are the same. It's just the numbers are different. Okay, the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you. Proverbs 19:16 says, he who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his way will die. This is particularly relevant in regard to keeping the fifth commandment, because we find the penalty of death is connected with breaking this law in Leviticus 20:19. It says, if anyone curses father or mother, let them be put to death. It's pretty strong, isn't it? There'd be a mass execution today, wouldn't there? We'd have to get the extermination camps back out if we're going to put to death those who curse their father and mother today. These are strong words for a society in which cursing parents is so commonplace that it no longer even elicits a response from adults. Doesn't even elicit a response from the teachers or from the parents of those who are being cursed by the kids. Say you are on a battlefield. The commander has just given the order to move out and attack the enemy. Because of setting up a defensive position, you have to make your way out through a minefield first. The commander has given a detailed map of where the mines are buried along with the only safe route in and out. As you look out over the field, everything looks safe. All looks perfectly normal, with rocks, grassy patches, insects, even birds landing here and there. It seems safe to your senses, but it is not safe. Just a few inches below the soil are deadly explosives that will rip you apart. As long as you closely follow the map, you are safe. If you become overconfident and start trusting to your own excellent sense of direction and common sense, you will be destroyed. So it is for those who follow a multitude in doing evil. Just because the world around you speaks evil of adults, and it does not make it safe to do so. All right? So just because it's so commonplace in our society, in our schools, in our homes, in our movies, in our entertainment, just because it is so common for kids to curse or swear at their parents, it does not make it safe to do so just because everyone does it. So it is for those who follow a multitude in doing evil, just because the world around you speaks evil of adults does not make it safe to do so. Those landmines are all around you, and if you get confident of your senses and decide to forge ahead in the direction you think is okay, you will surely die. The only way to get safely out of this world and into the next is to closely follow the map. We spoke earlier of laws being so frequently broken, so frequently that they no longer exist in the mind of the people. And this is a prime example. Somehow, it has now become acceptable for children of all ages to speak rudely and disrespectfully to adults, including or especially parents and teachers. And they appear to get away with it. And that is the illusion of the battlefield as you look out at the seemingly normal landscape. Those minds are still there. However the fashion may be to speak scornfully to authority, it is not in fashion with God. The penalty of the law will be sent out, addressed personally to each one who mocks his parents. That penalty will be forwarded from address to address until it catches up to the offender. There is nowhere to hide. Okay, so that illustration of the minefield is good because to all appearances, it looks like any other field. It could look just like our field, all the normal little birds coming and going, the little creatures on it. But it is not a safe field. It is full of danger, deadly danger. And so it is with the commandments of God. It looks like it's perfectly safe because all these people are breaking the commandments and appearing to get away with it. And that makes it seem to our senses like it's not that big a deal. Just like honoring the Sabbath. As we ignore the Sabbath and we look around and we think, oh, well, everybody's getting along just fine breaking the Sabbath. Why do I need to honor it? Why does it apply to me if it doesn't? Nobody else is getting punished for it. But the truth is, they're being punished in ways that you don't know anything about. The penalty for breaking the fourth commandment is huge, which is we lose our relationship with God. It's built right into the law. We lose our relationship with God as we fail to honor the Sabbath, and we don't spend any time with God. And as a result, we are in danger, and great danger, of being sucked into a worldly lifestyle, forgetting all about God, and perishing. So the danger is built right in. And so it is the same with the fifth commandment of honoring our parents. If we don't do it, there really is a penalty, even though it looks to our senses like nothing is happening. Boy, there's a lot happening. There is a lot happening because God is notating and making note of every kid who scornfully speaks to his parents. That is a sin. That's a high crime to God the Father because he is a father. And that respect that is due to a father and mother is very, very huge to God. And those who mock their parents, it's just unthinkable the result that will happen, even though it might not happen right now. Maybe it won't even happen in this life. There will be some punishment for it, though. And in the next world, well, there is nowhere to hide. Frightening scriptures. Adding to the weight of the fifth commandment, we have many other laws instituted by God regarding proper respect for parental authority. Consider just these two. He who curses his father or mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. Proverbs 20:20. He who curses his father or mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. Means the light of God will be shut off from him, and he will be left in the dark. This means there is a built-in penalty attached to cursing your parents that includes being abandoned in the time of your need. God will also cause a blindness of the truth to settle into the mind of the one who is disrespectful so that he will not find him. Perhaps one of the most frightening scriptures in the Bible deals with this particular area. The eye that mocks the father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. Proverbs 30:17. The eye that mocks the father and scorns the mother will be plucked out and eaten by the birds of prey. That's the promise of God. That is the word of God. It's an irrevocable word of God. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? That's a very strong statement. And when we couple that with how easy it is to break that law, to have a scornful look at a parent or a scoffing attitude toward a parent, it's as natural to us as breathing. It's as natural as breathing. It is so intense. The opportunity when they do something that doesn't meet our approval, to scoff or exhale or roll your eyes. It's huge. The opportunity to reap the punishment of this crime is huge. And it doesn't stop just because you might grow up, get out of the house, or you might be as old as I am. It still doesn't stop. I still have to catch myself to make sure that if my mom, you know, says something that I think is whatever, you know, for me not to make sure that I don't have a scoffing attitude if she says something that I think is patently wrong. You know, it's just as easy for it to rise up in me at my age. So it's very, very, very common for us to have a scoffing or a scornful attitude toward parents. It's so common. And so I don't say that to say that we are all going to be eaten and devoured by the birds of prey. I'm saying this so that we will be very cognizant of how much God holds us accountable to esteem our parents. And that if we aren't, this word will be fulfilled. This word will be fulfilled if we don't have a heart of repentance. Okay? So we might fall. We might catch ourselves having a scornful attitude. Okay? We will not be condemned to be to the birds of prey if we run back to God and say, Lord, oh, I'm so sorry. I had that scornful attitude toward my parents. Please forgive me. Now, if you haven't said anything to your parents, you just had a scornful attitude, just go to God and confess it. Don't confess it to your parents, because that'll just hurt your relationship. But if you have said something scornful or demeaning to your parents, you actually do need to go to them and ask their forgiveness as well as God's. All right? And that's mandatory. In order to escape the punishment of this sin, we have to make sure we're just running to God all the time to make sure that we have a penitent heart, because these laws are irrevocable. And the grace of God is that we can go to the Lord in repentance and be forgiven. So you think, oh, well, this is the law, not grace. No, it's the grace that allows us not to be destroyed by the first 10,000 times that we've broken this law, because we go to God and we say, I'm sorry. Okay? So it's the grace that allows us to continue in our struggle to overcome the sin in our life. It's grace that enables us to grow, to overcome sin. It's not grace that dismisses all sin so we can live any way we want. It's grace that enables us to become conformed to the law of God, so we can become conformed to the character of Christ, both in forgiveness and then in strength to do the right thing. And you can never enter into that right mindset if you don't know what the law is and that you break it. That's why studying the law is so important. It puts us in the right mindset. It puts us in the mindset of repentance from seeing our sin, and also of struggling and praying that God would help us to do well. Okay? What makes this verse so frightening is the realization that God's word never goes forth without accomplishing its purpose. With that in mind, go into any classroom and observe the language and attitude which is used to address the teacher. When this scripture is fulfilled, the birds of prey will be satiated. Adding to this, or perhaps initiating it, are the modern movies which are made for youth. In many programs, the parents are made to look like bumbling fools while the hero, a child, badmouths them. Wisecracks and scornful comments are made to look cool and impressive. And so it has entered our society like a flood, and there is no longer any conscience in the matter. Nor is it restricted to secular households. Some of the most tolerant of this type of disrespect are the good Christian parents. They do not realize that this form of love will most certainly lead their precious ones into the fiery pit. Today, it's very common for me to see young people who are utterly rebellious, who come from Christian homes. It's nothing for me to see kids from Christian families that are are very rebellious. And the parents are beside themselves, and they wonder, how could this be? But I've watched them grow up. I've watched these kids since they were born, or since they were just a couple years old, and I've watched where these little ones will speak in a disrespectful or demeaning tone of voice toward their parents, and the parents will just pat them on the head, and they'll say, or they will say nothing, and they will leave the child speaking disrespectfully to them as little kids. As little kids, they will get away with speaking down to their parents. And I watch it and I say, there's a child, when they're 15, they're going to destroy their parents' heart. They're going to just absolutely break their parents' heart because it's been allowed to stay in them to have this disrespectful, scornful attitude toward parents. So in Christian homes, it's very, 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 very prevalent for Christian parents, in the name of patience and Christian love, to let this scornful attitude in their kids exist even at a very young age. And they don't know that they are actually destroying their kids for allowing that. And so when they're in their teens and they rebel, the parents are beside themselves with grief. It's like, well, it was very obvious 12 years ago when you allowed them to scoff at you and you didn't correct them, then that when they're 15, this is what was going to happen. It has to be. It's a cause and effect. And so God takes these things really, really seriously. And for the little kids who are trained to obey these, like this was a very important verse in our house, as meant to instill a fear of God. That if we would have a scornful attitude toward our parents, that we would have a very severe judgment of God meted out to us. And it caused everyone to have a very respectful attitude, including me, toward my own parents at the time. It's like, wow, this applies to us all. We have to all honor our mother and father because we'll all be liable for judgment if we don't. So these are very, very significant laws, and this is a real good one to help reinforce the commandment. The great net. If we think about it in an ordinary sense, why would children rise up against their parents, mocking them, scorning, talking back, and disobeying them? It's very unnatural. Why would we hate the very people who feed us, clothe us, give us a protected place to sleep, and love us? Parents do all these things and more for their children, and you'd expect the children to love and appreciate them for it. But they don't. Why? Because they have an enemy who hates them. He knows that if he can cause a child to be disrespectful to his parents, he can very likely collect his soul at the end of his life. He focuses on this area because it is so easy. If he can just get people to scorn their parents, he can separate them from God. He loves to destroy families and cause heart misery to parents, but his real goal is separating them from God. As we look at society today, it is no accident or coincidence that it has become normal and acceptable for children to talk back to their parents, teachers, and all adults. They have an enemy that prowls about like a roaring lion, and he devours those who step out of God's protection by willfully disobeying him. So the children think they are cool and hip and better than their parents, but in reality, their souls are being fattened up for a great feast in hell. That is why we must learn to be afraid of sin. We must fear it. To mock or scorn parents is an unthinkable crime in God's eyes. That means not only the scornful words, but the attitude behind them. It means every time we exhale loudly or roll our eyes or even harbor thoughts against our parents, we will have a penalty stamped and sent to us, a bad one. Just by living in our modern world, we will automatically break some very serious rules. We must learn what the laws of God are, then we must be afraid of breaking them. Just like with Adam and Eve, the day we sin, we will die. No, we don't drop dead when we talk back to our parents, but we separate ourselves from God, who is the source of life. That is true death. Okay, so the penalty is that we're separated from the source of life, and we begin to die as if we aren't reconciled with God through faith and grace. Parents take the place of God. God in his divine providence has allowed men and women to share his duties and joys. While he could easily have designed a way for infants to survive on their own, he entrusted them to parents who would then be able to partake in a small portion of his own fatherly nature. It's one of those mysteries that are too wonderful to fathom. He made men and women to share in the tenderness of caring for the helpless, watching with joy as they grow and learn. As a father, I can truthfully say raising children is the greatest joy in life. Just as there are physical needs that we tend to with all diligence, there are, of course, spiritual needs. God often gives us more responsibility than we are comfortable with. In this case, parents have the responsibility of raising children up with a love and reverence for God. However they raise them, that is how they are. We have the responsibility of raising them as children of heaven, as citizens of heaven. If we don't, except for the direct intervention of God, they won't be. A great part of that is teaching them proper respect for authority. We have a charge before God to prepare them to submit willingly and gladly to his own authority. They are like seedlings which are exposed to every type of buffeting. Contrary winds howl, storms blast upon them. We are their supporting wires that hold them straight until their trunks grow strong and their limbs firm. Once that young tree reaches a certain size, no amount of pressure can bend it. As parents, that is our job. We are not our children's peers or playmates. We are their authority and guide. We have a task which we are accountable for that requires us to enforce heaven's laws, even if it makes us unpopular for a short while. It is my experience that in every case where parents hold their ground to maintain discipline, despite the threat of being alienated from their children, they find in the end the children return to them with wonderful affection. In all cases where the parents are afraid to stand their ground and give in to the children's pressure, the children end up disrespecting and despising their parents. Think about it. And that's become the new norm in families and in child raising, is that we don't want to alienate our kids by disciplining them. That we're going to somehow, hurt their self-esteem, which is very popular in schools now, that you can't discipline any child for any reason now because you're hurting their self-esteem. And that's the only real crime there is in the world, is hurting someone's self-esteem. And so the kids in school aren't disciplined anymore. Whereas you find in any school environment that is highly disciplined, you find the kids thriving. You find the kids thriving. You find that the kids actually love and respect their teachers wherever there is strong, firmly enforced discipline, that they end up loving and respecting their teachers. Contrary to our modern philosophy, which is coincidentally exactly opposite of the Bible. A prevailing psychology for child raising and school, raising kids in school, is completely contrary to the Word of God. And the result is our classrooms have become like hell. They've become like hell. And there's no discipline, and the kids aren't growing. But in a disciplined environment, they thrive. Same in the family. In the family, the parents are taught to tolerate all forms of disrespect, to be patient and not to say anything. That's what parents are instructed to do. They're going to alienate their kids if they say anything to discipline them. And so the parents are afraid to discipline their kids. But we find that if we go by the Bible formula, which is to enforce a strict discipline, we find that those kids end up loving their parents. They end up growing up and loving their parents. And the ones who were never alienated by their parents and never disciplined, they grow up with a despising and a hatred of their parents. It's just, it's universal. It is just a law. And so it's very, very important for us to understand, both as you all grow and have your own kids, and also in our relationship now with our own parents, that we are to have honor toward our parents, to think the best of them, to put the best face on what they do. And if you don't agree, you just let her go. You just let her go. You just, like, don't think about it. You don't dwell on it. You don't think they're stupid because of having an opinion contrary to you. And the real galling thing about it is this. Your parents say something you think that you know is dumb. And then you find out 5 or 10 years later that they were right. That's very galling. It happens a lot. Even at my age, it happens a lot. It's very, very humbling. It's very humbling to find out when we've scoffed at our parents that they're actually right. So we need to have an attitude of honor toward our parents, even if we don't understand exactly what they're getting at or we think it's contrary to what we know. Still honoring them is what God has commanded. So I hope this lesson has been instructive to us all. And let's go to our discussion groups and to our questions. And for those who are away, if you have any questions, make sure you get in touch with us, email us. And it's great to be with you today.